This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 249 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
So, yeah, watched some shows this week.
Did you watch some shows?
Yeah, I watched a couple movies.
I watched zero movies this week, I realized.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I watched one brand new movie and a couple of classic movies.
Okay.
Yep. All right, I guess let's just jump right in. I'm going to talk about Warrior.
Oh, yeah, that one that you like.
Yeah, it's I watched Warrior on HBO Max. I finished season two, so I'm all done. Season one as a whole was better than season two. Season two ended on a pretty cool note. There was a... I think it was the second to last episode, I want to say, because you know how everything merges together after a while.
Yep.
It ended with an amazing, it was the second to last episode, ended with an absolutely amazing riot-type fight scene between the Irish and the Chinese, and it is amazing. I mean,
so you're saying it's amazing.
Half an hour long. Yes, this particular fight scene was just tremendous. Like, I would love to know how long it took them to film it, because the actual, like, end product was, like, 25, 30 minutes long.
Wow.
Which is a lot,
yeah.
You know? I mean, you talk about, they'll have these, like, 10-minute fight scenes that it took all day to record. So it's like, did they take multiple days to record this pretty extravagant fight scene or not? But right. If you... Like I've said before in the past, I can give the show a hard sell as far as if you enjoy martial arts, you enjoy, you know, some period pieces like take place in 1870s San Francisco, and it's just good. It's just good television. Nice. I hope we get a season three.
And that's on HBO Max?
HBO Max, yep.
Are they hour-long episodes, half-hour-long episodes?
Basically hour-long. You know, we say, oh, it's an hour, 45 minutes. No, these are like 55 minutes.
Okay.
The season finale of season two is like an hour and 4 minutes. So, I mean, they're good hour-long episodes.
Gotcha.
Yep. Another HBO Max show I started was the Harley Quinn animated series. Especially when you reminded me it was on there. These are great because they're only, like, you know, 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
I watched the first two episodes.
Okay.
I am a huge fan of Lake Bell as Poison Ivy, by the way. But, yeah, no, it's and Kaley Cuoco is great as Harley Quinn, and, you know, Alan Tudyk being Clayface Joker, Calendar Man, Dr. Trap, Condiment King. I love it.
Like, pretty much everybody.
No, it's... Yeah. The guy playing Bane is awesome. I love his Bane voice.
I keep thinking that it's Kevin Smith based on his he's done before, but it's not.
Yeah. No. But no, it's really, really good. I give that a hard sell.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I can't wait for you to get the rest of the way through it, especially the first season. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm going to keep watching it. That's for sure. Another HBO Max show that I've given up on, and I think you're still watching it, starring Kaley Cuoco, is The Flight Attendant. So why don't you talk about that?
So here's the funny thing. Not enough to Not enough to actually make a difference and say you should go back, but this episode was actually decent. Surprisingly enough, like, instead of what we've been getting, which is Kaylee Cuoco, you know, running around pretending she's a detective, it starts off with her meeting up with Annie, and Annie's like, basically tells her to go fuck herself. And I think she actually may use those words at one point. But she tells her, she's like, no, you're a piece of shit. I'm tired of covering for you all the time. You got the man that I love hit by a car. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she goes, yeah, you're sorry. Where are your injuries? Where's your damage? No, you don't have any, because you, once again, got somebody else fucked over and didn't get hurt yourself. And so Kaylee decides, I'm going to go out on a bender with that guy that I've been hooking up with. And she kind of does that. And he's a bad influence because he loves getting drunk. And so they do a bunch of stuff. The part that really got it for me, though, you know, we watch her go on a bender with this guy and then go back and try to make up with Annie. And Annie tells her again, go fuck yourself. And she's like, I cover for you and I stick up for you, Annie. And Annie's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm a piece of shit too, but you're not a good influence in my life. So even though I'm a piece of shit and you're a piece of shit, doesn't mean we need to be pieces of shit together. So kicks her out again, but she starts, you know how she keeps having those memory things where she, remembers the night of the murder or remembers the morning after or whatever. And we get to see her talking to the guy who got murdered in there in her head.
Yeah.
Well, this time she's having like some, they're almost like trippy things, you know, like walking down a hallway and suddenly she's walking sideways. And, but we really get to the root of it and we watch her, start seeing some of her childhood memories that we've seen before, you know, with her dad and her brother and stuff. But they do this really cool thing with the way that they filmed it, where you kind of get some static and then you see what really happened, like how she remembers it and then what really happened. And as we all are aware, her dad was a piece of shit, but I mean, he was a piece of shit to her brother, like calling him a little faggot and, you know, doing the whole classic dad thing that you and I know so well, which is like, get up, quit whining, you're fine. You know, but in her head, it was, oh, we're a happy family. We're all sitting around singing happy birthday to my brother. Yay. And then in the reality, when she finally snaps and sees the reality, you know, it was that. It was her dad smacking her brother around and calling him a piece of shit and her laughing the whole time and encouraging her dad. So it wasn't just that he was a piece of shit. It was that she was a piece of shit and ripping on her brother. So she ends up in jail and uses her one phone call to call her brother. And, you know, he can't bail her out and she's not looking for that. She's like, I just need you to know that I'm an asshole. I treated you like shit. Dad treated you like shit. I finally realized that. I'm so sorry. I owe you an apology. And then just kind of hangs up on him. So it was much better than the lame Scooby-Doo wannabe thing that we've been getting. Again, not enough to say you should go back and watch it, but it was good.
Well, I saw it was renewed for a second season, so
I still don't know what that's going to be. If it's going to be, what am I trying to say? If it's going to be her again, or if it's going to be a different character with different stuff going on.
Yep.
I just don't know.
Well, moving on. Let's see. And This Is Us was not on. I thought Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist was very good this week. What'd you think of it?
Yes. I'm glad that they find, because you and I were both kind of on the fence before that. But yeah, I'm glad they finally got back to doing that well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first episode was good. It had a lot of hangover from season one. Episodes two and three, they went downhill with each episode went downhill pretty quickly.
Yep.
To the point where I was like, I don't know if I can watch this anymore. I don't know if this can be any good without dad or whatever the reasons were. They went downhill very, very sharply and quickly for me.
Yep.
But big old rebound on episode four.
Oh yeah. Yep. I liked all of it. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say Zoe's opening is just like, she's going to choose happiness, you know, like, It's going to be a happy day. She's not going to let anything get her down. It's going to be great. She's going to love it. Happy, 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 positive, positive, positive. And then she shows up to work and, you know, she has to fire 10% of her staff. So, yeah, not a great way to try and stay happy. And she takes it bad. She starts firing people. And some people, like, they don't care. Some of them are fine with it.
Some of them actually deserve it.
Yeah. Like, she actually asked her sister-in-law, like, how do you do it? And she's like, quick and painless, like a Band-Aid.
Yep.
But then she has to fire Diego. Wait, no.
he'll always be Diego.
I know, right? That's everything. You know who I'm talking about, though.
Yes, yes.
And he is not grasping that he's being fired until finally she has to blatantly tell him that she's fired. And because he's just, you know, oh, my Consuela, she died 3 years ago today and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what I mean? Just this the little sobby story. So finally she fires him only to go out and get rip shit drunk and apparently call him up while she's all drunk and hire him back.
Because she thought she was calling one of the two guys that is still interested in her.
Yeah, instead to fire him again the next day.
And he got a nice little singing number there where he basically says, you know, I don't need you. I'm stronger than this. And
yeah. Zoe's brother, you know, it's his big 100th win possibly as a defense attorney.
Yep.
He wants to be a stay-at-home dad and he's torn.
Yep.
And his wife, she basically is like, you know what? I'll be more than happy to go back to work because I miss being at work, basically.
Well, at first she's not. At first she's like, we have a kid, we have a family, you know. She's not mean about it, but she's like, no, is this really the best time?
Right. But then she sees just how affected he is by, and by the end, she's like, you know what? I've been dying to kind of get out of the house and go back to work. So I will go back to work and I will do what's necessary.
Right. Another good number.
Yeah. Well, she's saying, I'll stand by you. What did he sing? It was good.
Saying, I Want to Break Free by Queen.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now, one song, the song that stuck in my head the most.
Yeah.
Whole episode was actually not even a song in Zoe's head. It was when she went next door to tell the neighbor boy to quiet down and he was singing Marcy Playground Sex and Candy.
Yes.
I haven't heard that song in so long and now I've listened to it a dozen times.
That was the only part of the episode that made me kind of groan a bit because it's like, oh, she's already having a hard enough time with these two guys in her life. Now we're going to introduce the hunky kid next door who went away to Australia and comes back with the Hemsworth look and the Australian accent and the grunge band. But
at least they're their same age. It's not like she was babysat him or something, so it's creepy. But yes, I also too did groan like, she really needs a third love interest?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But they'll do it. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. And then Max and Mo, they're working on their new place. Max feels like Mo's not pulling his weight. Mo wants to have a karaoke and ignite and do a cleansing. And he gets Mo. I liked it when they did their karaoke of Opposites Attract.
Yes.
And
once he finally got up there to do it.
Yes, and then after that, he's like, are you happy? I got shit to do.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she's like, oh, hey, by the way, here's this person that wants to interview you for this magazine. And I talked you up, that type of thing. And I thought it was great because at the end, Max is like, oh, Mo is doing her job, quote unquote, if you will. So I guess I'll just shut up and I'm sorry and let's eat some crow.
Yeah, she basically talked him up to the woman there all night and got him an interview in Wired magazine. And, you know, she was doing what needed to be done just in her own way.
Exactly. Yep. So. All right. Oops. Hey. And I know this is not our normal topic, but I have to say last night I watched the Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, that was all over my news feed yesterday and today.
Yeah, they had two Rumble matches. I gotta say, as a whole, the pay per view was very good. Both the Rumble matches were very good. Nothing extravagant that stood out really in either match, as far as like, wow, that blew me away. But they were both just solid and good and competitive. It is a little weird without the crowd.
Oh, I bet. Because yeah.
The big thing is always the countdown from 10 to the next entrant. So they did have fake crowd noise counting down, like they pulled it from an audio track from like last year or whatever. Just some year they had a good clear crowd counting down from 10 to 1, and they played that each time, which did kind of like, all right, get you back into it. Christian made a big return after 7 years being out of wrestling, so I was very excited about that. But yeah, so I watched the Royal Rumble. It was solid.
Nice. I'm glad that it was solid.
I thought that Superstore was okay this week.
Some of it I did like, you know. Yep. I can't believe they brought Kelly back.
Yep.
Kind of cool. I loved her attitude about the whole thing. You know, she's like, why am I here? And then she's like, Oh my God. I can't believe you people did this to me again. Specifically, I don't want to be part of your drama. I don't want to be part of any of this.
Yeah.
I just want to work my shift and get out, because basically Jonah is still living in Amy's place by himself.
Well, no, he's not.
Well, he tells everybody it's by himself, but he's got Marcus there, because I missed Marcus. But yep. Mateo and Amy's brother want to live there so that, you know, they can have their own place. You know, Jonah is dealing with the shit. He wasn't. He's like been in denial, but then he finally has the breakdown and explodes. Do you think Kelly will be back for more?
Sorry, I was on mute. I think this is just a one-off for her.
Okay. We also had the storyline of the trough, which is the hidden area in the back room that they kind of made up as a shag pad.
Yeah, like, say a fuck hut.
It is a fuck hut. I've worked in retail for over 15 years. I have never seen anything like that. I worked in a linens and things where you had beds made up. And you had blankets and pillows everywhere, and I've never seen anything like that. So I don't know if this is a real thing, but
that was interesting.
Yeah. And then Zephyr is trying to catch Carolyn a lie, basically, to get rid of her lawsuit. And so, of course, Dina puts Cheyenne on trying to follow her.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because she also doesn't recognize that Cheyenne's saying, hey, I'm floor supervisor, but I haven't got my pay raise. She's like, oh, you'll get it. Don't worry. Like, she can't put two and two together to realize that Cheyenne is disgruntled. So why would you give somebody who is disgruntled carte blanche to say, hey, you need to follow this employee around because we're trying to screw them over? It was not a good move on Dina's part.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Not at all.
But yeah, it was an okay episode. It's really better without Amy around all over.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. I would agree with that as well. So I do like how Dina and
Garrett?
Glenn sharing responsibility of being the store manager.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've decided they're going to be co-store managers, but basically Dina's going to do all the dirty work, if you will.
Uh-huh. And he's fine with that because
yep.
He doesn't like to do the dirty work.
Exactly. He doesn't like to do the dirty work at all. But no, yeah, I thought it was a good season. Or a good season. I thought it was a good episode.
Yep, for the most part.
Yep. Oh, let's see, what else you got?
How about the unicorn? I caught up on that one, the First Supper that you were talking about.
All right, so what'd you think of it?
I thought it was decent, but I recognized the struggle that Wayne has, or Wade has, where you've got somebody new and you've got to introduce them to your friends. You may like them, but there's always that. Am I going to have to over explain them to my friends? Like the lobster story that he shared with everybody. And even she said, why did you tell them that? That makes me sound like a psychopath.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference when you're dating somebody of just like, oh, we're great. Oh, I love them. and then going, oh shit, this isn't going to translate well to people outside of this relationship.
And then Wade even says at one point, like, about, that didn't embarrass me much.
But yeah. That's
never comforting.
Yeah. So, but overall, the episode was good. Led right into the next episode, which was this most recent one. I really, really liked, I can't even think, I want to say Forrest, but it's not. Forrest was funny for eating his edibles and, you know, not being able to handle his shit.
Yes.
That was kind of funny. But I'm going to have to look it up. Give me 1 second here so that I can get the name. Ben and Michelle. Ben.
Yeah.
So when basically, you know, Michelle's talking about her, one of her classmates, and how he's like helping her out. No, he said, I'm really good at this. And Ben's like listening in on the conversation. He's like, dude, that guy's hitting on you. And she's like, what are you talking about? Don't you, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. I'm making friends. And he's like, all right. So he backs off and he basically apologizes. No, he was right.
And he was, yeah.
Everyone like, could tell.
Yes. I liked Shannon spending the night. And, you know, the next morning, like, she's like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And the next morning, she's the awkwardness with the kids. And so she's going to make pancakes and she's wearing mom's apron and she's doing things different than mom does things and on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What I liked about it was that the kids it was awkward, but then the kids were like, we didn't mind she spent the night, you know, and we want you to have a life, you know, it's time. We just didn't like doing mom stuff in the morning. That's
right. That was
cool. I like how they addressed it. Yes.
Yep.
So
it was also a little awkward, but I got it that basically the girls were supposed to be watching Noah and he didn't want to be watched, but you know, he's still young-ish. I don't think he really needed to be watched, but I get it. And the girls.
No, I don't think he needed to be watched either. He's like almost 13 years old.
Yeah. He's a tween. That's what he keeps saying. I'm a tween.
Yeah, he's a tween. Or he was being ignored. Like, no one says that you're a tween. Only tweens say you're a tween.
But he basically walked home because they were ignoring him and they were busy doing TikToks. And so he walked home in that neighborhood, which is a small neighborhood. I don't know why his parents were like, oh my God, you walked all the way here. But anyway,
but I don't know how far apart they live from each other.
It's true.
Like, we've never established how far these trio of friends, if you will, live from each other.
Right. So I don't know. It was decent to see the girls show up and like kind of freaking out. They're like, oh yeah, he's laying on the couch reading a book. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm right here.
Yeah, it's a good show.
It is. It is a very enjoyable show for a sitcom. Much more realistic players in it than some of the other ones. Like, oh, I don't know, say Walker. How about Walker?
So I want to like the show, but it just does so many things that makes me not like it. No, I think I messaged you that I enjoyed the show until we got to the teenage daughter's over angsty angst. Yeah, I enjoy the police procedural part of it.
Which there's not a lot of.
No, there isn't. But then all the home stuff of it, like the him and his Bob dad touchy feely talky, and him and mom's touchy feely talky, and the daughter dealing with mom being gone. It's been a year, people. I know it's not a long time. Okay, whatever.
How about the fact that his brother tried to get custody of the kids, literally to keep them from going into the system, and he's like, "No, they're my kids. You can't take them."
Well, it was not. If it was to prevent something, if something happened to Walker while he was disappeared on this undercover operation, then
he wanted them to be taken care of.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I care about watching it anymore. I don't know if we're going to watch.
Like you said, the police procedural stuff is good, but in a 42-minute episode, we get maybe, I would say generously 10 minutes of it is police procedural, and the other 32 minutes is drama, home stuff, even his partner dealing with the guy that she's shacking up with and, you know, whether or not they're a relationship.
Yeah, I don't remember the original Walker series being this more focusing so much on home life, I'm going to say.
And I have to believe it's because it's on the CW.
Yes, I believe it is because they've CW'd the hell out of it.
Yep. So,
and still, no Roundhouse Kicks by Jared Padalecki, which I guess we're just not going to see.
Okay. I have to say something about that. So, I took this off my DVR. I'm not going to be watching this anymore because of the frustrations. But the biggest, most egregious thing for me was the chase at the end of the episode that had no business being a chase. So you've got his boss who, you know, you've got to figure there's dozens, I would say, of Texas Rangers. I dare say more than dozens, maybe several dozens, maybe 100 Texas Rangers. Okay. Even if there's only a dozen.
Sure.
Okay. Why is it that we've seen two plus the boss?
Yep.
So we're chasing armed guys who are in a Jeep. The boss is driving and Walker's partner is with him. First off, why is the boss out on the field assignment? Whatever.
He's a hands-on type of guy.
Yeah. So he's driving. The guy in the back seat of the bad guy's car jumps up, fires one perfect shot that explodes the front tire of the boss's truck. Just like explodes it. So, yep, they're dead in the water. They're not going to catch them. Oh, wait, here comes Walker conveniently on a horse that he was trying to catch, you know, that had gotten away, that happened to be, you know, really close to the airfield that they're chasing these guys on. So this guy's a crack enough shot that he can take out a tire from a moving vehicle with one shot. Okay. Walker runs over to the now disabled vehicle on the horse, drags his partner up onto the back of the horse, chases down the truck. The guy never fires another shot. I mean, he could have taken out the horse. He could have taken out Walker, the partner. He could have taken out everyone with that kind of aim. Nope, doesn't fire another shot. Walker gets all the way up on side of the vehicle, and then his partner jumps off and sidekicks the guys in the head.
Yeah.
And kicks the crap out of two of them and then slams the driver's head into the steering wheel. Nobody fights back. Nobody tries to stop her. Nobody shoots.
Yeah. There's three of them in the I had that same issue. There's three of them in this Jeep, and she just jumps in and beats all of them up somehow.
Yeah, like one hit.
I had an issue with that.
So when you said roundhouse, it made me think the closest we came to a roundhouse kick was her jumping in and kicking one guy in the head.
Yep.
And right there, I went, nope, done. Because that's just ridiculous. Like, that is poor, poor writing.
Well, I watched a show I didn't intend to watch because I was done with it, which was Cat. And the reason why I watched it is because after I got done watching The Conners, which I enjoy still, was a great episode this week, it automatically started playing Cat.
Oh.
And I just left it on because
it's by Hulu.
That's what Hulu does, right? It started, it'll autoplay the next one. So I just left it on because I didn't have anything else left to watch at that point.
Right.
And it played through and the quirkiness is starting to
endear itself to you.
Yes, I could think of a word. It's starting to like. It's not getting to me. It's starting to like. I'm starting to be like, all right, you know what? That's so bad. And the ending where they all wave at the camera and shit, like it's almost like I feel like this is like a BBC type thing, like you see it in a British comedy show. Honestly, but yeah, no, it's so I don't know.
Well, that's good.
I can't give the show a hard sell, but at the same time, it's like, it's not that bad. I don't know if it'll get renewed again. I'm not even going to break it down, but excuse me. I watched the second episode of the Great North.
Yep. Again, because it was on autopilot.
No, I actually had nothing to watch, and I was like, I'm just going to watch. Is there another episode on? Oh, yeah, there was a second episode. Cool, let's check it out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel. Realistically, what it is because I'm home during the day, and my son's home during the day. I kind of need something I can have on that I don't have to worry if he's around.
Right.
Most of the shows I watch, there's a lot of cursing or, you know what I mean? Like violence or sex or something. Yeah. It's not age appropriate for a 6-year-old to be roaming around. And if I'm watching it on the TV or even on my tablet for him to come in and be like, hey, dude, what are you watching? Or just, you know what I mean? Whatever. Something I'm having. So like, that's the other reason why I checked out The Great North, because again, it's something I could just have on. It's not like I could watch Harley Quinn, you know, and I don't want to sit there with my fucking tablet on the couch with my earbuds in so I could watch a show. Like, not doing that. So, what else? Are you done with The Blacklist?
I may actually be. I did not watch it this week.
Well, I watched the Elizabeth Keen episode, and it was fucking dumb.
Okay.
Yeah. She spends the first half of the episode calling all of Raymond's men, or his contacts, his handlers, his money guys, his people, everyone that's worked for him, basically, and being like, Raymond's dying. He's a traitor from Moscow. You should work for me. When Raymond dies, he's left me everything, and I'm going to take over. And, of course, every single one of them's like, no, fuck you. No, fuck you. Or, like, they're talking to her, and they're like, he's a what? Well, that piece of shit. What? Oh, hold on. Someone's calling me. Hello. All right, Raymond. Yeah, I'm talking to Elizabeth. Oh, she's lying? Oh, okay. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. And, like, of course, the episode ends with Elizabeth getting a daughter who Aram is watching. And instead of, like, arresting her or holding her for everyone to show up to arrest her because, you know, she blew up a fucking hospital, he lets her get away. So it ends with Elizabeth on the lam and Raymond's business partner in Moscow being like, Elizabeth Keen needs to die. And Raymond being like, I told you nothing happens to Elizabeth. And his partner being like, well, nothing happens for now. Ominous music. And then, yeah, so next week is, like, another Blacklister. And yeah, I don't know. it lost so much luster, and I just, it's like they've made me hate Elizabeth Keen. So there's that.
I'm not a fan. I just don't know if I'm going to go back to it, because especially now that I know that it's been renewed, because if I'm finding it a slog now, do I really want to keep investing time and energy into it?
Yeah, I hear you there. I think the answer for me is no. I mean, it may end up being like a supernatural thing where I go back once it's like all on Netflix or something and I can watch it without commercials and have it in the background. And maybe it's going to be that. I don't know. But
yeah. I will say this. I watched Prodigal Son again this week, and I still really enjoy this show. I'm so glad that I stuck with it.
Good. I finished Transformers Earthrise. Did you finish the last episode?
I did. Thank you for the heads up.
Well, you know, as I'm watching it and I'm just like, oh, hey, there's only one episode left. I'm just going to let it go. And I'm going to message John. Hey, I accidentally on purpose watched the last episode.
Well, you were also like 3 or 4 episodes behind, so I can especially understand it. If you're like in the mood and you're watching it, and you're like, there's one left. Why not?
Yeah.
Still decent.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it quite a bit. I'll be fascinated when the whole thing is out and I can rewatch it, like start to finish all 3 seasons.
Yeah, me too. Like we kind of, they're on Earth. Well, so they're on Earth now. At the end of the series, the season ends with them on Earth and we see a dinosaur, and you think, oh, okay, they're back in dinosaur times, which makes sense. But then, like, the dinosaur appears to be robotic of some kind because his eyes, you know what I mean? It's like the Dinobot.
Right.
But he's a Dinobot that actually looks like a dinosaur, unlike every other Transformer we've seen, which when they're an animal version, they don't really look like the animal because they look like a machine. So.
Right. But remember that apparently we've had the Allspark's been here for a while.
Yeah. And the next season apparently is going to involve Beast Wars.
Oh. I like the subtle little nods that we got in here where Galvatron appeared and he was talking about his timeline.
Yes.
And how it was in an alternate reality, and then he got pulled back by Unicron. That was great.
Yes, I thought that was really, really good as well.
So they're basically telling us, yep, this is an alternate timeline, but so enjoy it.
Yep, but yeah.
Enjoy this little nod.
Yeah, this is Kingdom is supposed to include the Maximals and the Predacons, taking series from the Beast Wars continuity. So
interesting.
If you're a Transformers fan, though, I'd give it a hard sell and say it's worth your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
You'll be happy to know that I did go ahead, like we had talked about, and I finished 2 Weeks to Live.
Oh, nice. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was a very decent little show. I liked that it was pretty self-contained.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun show. I don't know if we'll get a second season.
And I don't know if it needs one. I mean, she's kind of off doing her thing now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you haven't seen this, I know I talked about it a couple weeks back or last week or whatever, but it's got Maisie Williams. It's only 6 episodes. They're about half an hour a piece. You know, it aired from September to October 2020 on Sky UK. It's now on HBO Max. And I really actually don't want to give it away because it's a fun, easy watch. But basically, you know, a girl, Maisie Williams plays Kim Noakes, who was raised like off the grid with her mom. And she's looking for revenge for the guy that killed her father in front of her when she was a child. And she thinks that the world is coming to an end. So now's the time for her to do it.
Yep.
So,
yeah, check it out. It is a decent, decent show.
Yeah, it's a fun little show.
Yep.
Fun little show. Yeah. I did not watch The Watch.
Okay.
I only have the BBC America app on my TV, and in the evening I was watching other stuff, and it's not a show I felt comfortable watching during the day while I got a little kid around. So right. I actually just didn't get to it. You said you watched the first 2 episodes. What did you think?
It was basically like I looked on my DVR and it was like episode 1, episode 3, episode 4. I'm like, what? And I put on episode 1. It was like now the 2-episode premiere of The Watch. I was like, oh, okay. It was okay. It did not suck me in, but it was not bad. It was okay. You know,
all right. It's not a hard sell at all. Make me want to pick up another show at this point.
No, I can't give it a hard sell. Again, it's not bad, but it's definitely not.
It's just okay, though.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just okay. Another new show that we both watched this week, which is much more than just okay, is the sci-fi original Resident Alien.
Yes.
What did you think of Alan Tudyk's new TV series?
Because it's Alan Tudyk, I will watch it no matter what. I thought some of the stuff was a little over the top, like the sheriff. I don't know what they were trying to go for there, but it's
Call me Big Black.
Yeah, it's a tall black man with a cowboy hat, and he's like, they call me Big Black. And Alan Tudyk's character is like, because of your big black truck? And he's like, yeah, the truck. And then like later he insists on it. Somebody's like, you know, sheriff? And he's like, I told you, call me Big Black. Yeah. Really?
I get what you're saying there.
But I really like the story behind it. That basically, you know, spoiler alert, he was an alien who was supposed to be coming to Earth to drop off a probe. He was just supposed to drop it and be gone. And lightning hit his ship and he crashed. And he went and found, you know, he was out in the middle of nowhere, came into this cabin that had Alan Tudyk's doctor in it, living by himself, and he kind of took over his life.
Yep.
Alan Tudyk's character fell into the lake and maybe dead, maybe just frozen.
Dr. Harry Vanderspiegel.
Yes.
Which he basically, but he says in the episode, like, I strangled him and dumped his body in the water, and I need to go find it before it washes ashore.
Yep.
He also needs to find his probe.
Yep.
Because it wasn't a probe. It was a mass extinction device to destroy the planet because humans are dangerous. However, he became emotionally attached to these humans, and he's like, maybe they're not so bad. Maybe we just need to get to know them better.
Yeah.
Although
it's going to be the theme of this show for the most part.
Well, there's a thing like certain humans have a 1 in a million chance of of being able to see through his disguise and see him in his real alien form, as opposed to, you know, his disguise of being a human. And this kid in town can see him and what he really looks like. So he decides he's just going to go murder the kid.
Yep.
And it doesn't go well for him, but he's decided he's going to murder the kid because that'll solve his problem.
Yep. And he still hasn't given up on it, even though it doesn't go well.
He learns to speak English by watching Law and Order marathon on TV, which is hilarious. And so he's very intelligent. And so when he gets kind of pulled into being the local doctor after the coroner, because the coroner is murdered, and he goes in to solve the crime, which is hilarious. And he's got his assistant, Asta 12 Trees, who is in an abusive relationship, and he ends up helping her. I mean, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed the show. I give it a super hard sell.
Yes.
If you like Alan, you're going to love this.
Yep. I agree. So,
yep.
Yep. It's going to be a good one.
Don't forget the scene where Big Black is in his cruiser, and his deputy wants to turn the radio on. And he says, well, if you need music, you just ask me. And he starts to beatbox Amazing Grace.
Like, it went over the fucking top. It was crazy.
It was excellent, but it was excessively long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this is definitely my big old hard sell.
Yep.
This is well worth your time.
Absolutely.
Go out of your way to watch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if there was another one on there like that. No. Yeah, I can't give that hard of a sell to The Watch, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm not gonna, unless you like the next episode, you're like, it was amazing. I'll be like, right. Oh, okay, I'll watch. The other new show we started was Lupin.
Yes.
On Netflix. Well, you had watched it previously, and I decided to give it a watch. So we've watched the first two episodes, or we're gonna talk about the first two episodes, if you will. There's only like six episodes or five in this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I have just, they're only releasing the first five, and then later this year they're going to release the other five, because they did film 10 episodes, and they're releasing it in two parts. They've done that before, Netflix has.
Yep.
So the show is actually based on a fictional detective character gimmick guy, if you will, that was written about, that was created in 1905,
right,
by a French writer, Maurice Leblanc, and he wrote like 24 books about this master gentleman thief's adventures, and this is kind of not a spoof, but this is a modernization of that character based on the character in the book. That's
right. It would be like if you had a modern day Sherlock, like if Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock Holmes was based on the book Sherlock Holmes that existed in the world that he's in.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Like you could read the book Sherlock Holmes and say, "Oh, this is about me," kind of thing. Yep.
Now, that being said, and I will say I really enjoyed these first two episodes. I see why people like it a whole lot, but you need to go in this understanding and knowing that Hassan, the main character, is the biggest Mary Sue of all time.
Oh, yes.
Like, everything he does. Like, you know, we see, like say, Ocean's 11. You know, the George Clooney heist flick. And he has a whole team of people and everything they need to do. Well, this guy is he's a one man band. He can do everything. You don't see his prep. You kind of see his prep work, but you don't really see his prep work, and nothing seems to ever go wrong. Everything goes exactly the way he planned it, but we don't see his plan. He doesn't talk about his plan. Everything just happens perfectly the way he wants it to happen.
Correct.
And, you know, like in the second episode where he, you know, he just, yeah, how he fakes his own death and he manages this, you know, and he steals the, you know, the exact medication he needs to take to do this is happens to be sitting out on the nurse's desk so he can steal it or in her cart or whatever. It's not locked up is what I'm saying. And he's in a jail.
Yeah.
But everything just happens too easily for him, too perfectly. So you need to go in there with that suspension of disbelief that, you know, this is just absurdly elaborate as far as how perfect everything goes for him.
Yeah, there's not a lot of realism in there, really. It is not meant to. Like, even with Ocean's 11, there was some believability to it.
There is a level of believability there, and there is not here, no.
Correct.
But basically, this whole episode, the first two episodes, I'm guessing this whole season, or at least first half, is him on a quest for his dad when he was a younger kid. He was a chauffeur for a rich guy, and this very expensive necklace went missing. And his dad was accused of it. His dad was coerced into signing a confession. And basically, this is the kid, now an adult, trying to clear his father's name.
Yep.
But I would say watch the hell out of it because you're going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's going to be the second part, you know, part two, which is going to be the final 10, the final five episodes of 10, comes out this summer.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's going to be just an enjoyable watch that doesn't require too much brain power, doesn't require too much. I don't know. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I think
we'll
so.
Stick with that.
Yeah. I guess all we have left to talk about is Lovecraft Country and WandaVision for shows.
No. I believe that we both started and finished the second season of Bonding this week.
Oh, yes. Let's get that right out of the way, if you will.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
No.
How about you?
I did like it.
Okay.
Let's dive in.
What did you like about it?
So apparently some of the backstory is that the first season was very popular for most people, but a lot of people who are actually in that community of kink and dominatrix and dungeons and stuff like that had a big problem specifically around the consent aspect of it.
Because
She basically bullied him into this and told him, you know, you will do this. There was a lot of stuff that happened in the first season that was non-consensual. And so a lot of them were like, how dare you? You know, you're making it look like we, you know, as dominants, we are forcing people into things and we take what we want. And it's not about that. You have to have consent. So you'll notice, I'm sure you noticed, that the word consent came up a lot in the second.
Oh, yes, it absolutely did. And I can understand that mentality behind that, you know, and yes, so that I have no problem with. Yeah.
So and that wasn't why I liked it. I wasn't like, yeah, good for them. I just enjoyed seeing more of the character progression. We still got quite a bit of the kink and fetish type stuff, not nearly as much as the first season, which was part of the big draw.
See, I don't think we did. I didn't think we did. That was my takeaway from it.
You didn't think we did what?
Got as much of the fetish kink type stuff. I think
No. That's what I'm saying, is I don't think we got nearly as much as we did in the first season.
But you said we got some, and I don't think we did.
Yeah, I meant to say no, we didn't get nearly.
Oh, okay. Okay, no. I thought you were saying we still got some, but not as much as the first season. I think we barely got any in this. I think
it was background.
There was no,
for the most part.
The show is Bonding. It's about a dominatrix and her assistant, who's also her best friend. But this season was about her having to make amends because she got shunned in the Dom community for what she did in the first episode. So in this season, the whole the dominatrix aspect of the show was all, like you said, just said, it was all back. It was not the forefront. It was her going to Dom 101 and being taught how to be a dominatrix.
Right.
And because if you notice at the top of every episode, Netflix put up a warning where it said, and one of them was nudity and sexuality and this and that. And it's this, they put the same warning up for every single episode. There was no nudity in this set whatsoever.
No.
So they put up a nudity warning. There was no nudity in any of these episodes at all. It was all like kink 101. Like, this is how you be a dominatrix. But even then, I don't think they delved into that. There was more about the relationship between the two main characters, between Tiff and Pete.
Right. You know, like I was saying, the dominatrix stuff, the kink stuff, the fetish stuff, that was more like background dressing, you know, while she's sitting there talking to Mistress Mira. And they've got the guy who's like zipped up in the body bag, essentially, and they're letting him breathe when they want to let him breathe. Like, that was not the focal point. That was just kind of something going on in the background. Or when she was kind of instructing her friend there on how to pleasure herself to get her first orgasm. That was, you know, that was more about her realizing that she loved her boyfriend than actually anything to do with sexuality or kink play. I think you might be muted again.
Yeah. To me, though, this would be like if you watch the first season of The X-Files, because you liked them solving the mysteries and the cases and the monster of the weeks and the anthology story arc and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, wow, that was an amazing show. And then you watch the second season and that's background play, and the foreground is Bulba's relationship with Scully, and Scully's relationship with her boyfriend, and Mulder's lack of relationship.
And so basically, the final seasons of the X-Files.
Well, no, but the actual casework was secondary or third or fourth in the storyline. And so, to me, when you have a show about bonding, about the dominatrix, that's what the show needs to be about, and that's not what this show is about.
Right. I can definitely appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's not like it was a time killer. I mean, the episodes were like 15 minutes long.
Yep.
You know, they're not long.
I banged it all out this morning.
Oh, geez. I mean, yeah. See, all eight episodes or seven, was eight episodes in the second season. It doesn't take long. I watched it in one evening. But yeah, so I don't know. It was just okay to me. And if they did a third season, I don't know if I'd even bother to try to watch it.
See, I will, but because they really did set it up for the third season, but I did enjoy. I completely see where you're coming from, and I agree. You know, there was this was not about bonding this time, and
no,
I'm wondering if they're going to get dragged for that as well. Like, okay, you talked about consent, but Jesus Christ, guys, this is supposed to be about dominatrix. This is not supposed to be like a CW show, essentially.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We'll see.
Other than that, I'm just looking. I think you're right. I think we've got WandaVision. Oh, no. We've got The Rookie.
Oh, yes. That's right.
WandaVision, Lovecraft Country, and The Rookie. And I got to say, this episode of The Rookie hooked me right back in. Remember how we were like, oh, geez, it's getting kind of annoying. Oh, why bring Brandon Routh's character on there for basically a two-episode arc? And nope, he's here to stay.
Well, at least for another episode, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is fucking shit up because he's almost become the villain now.
Well,
which
yeah,
the show has had a hard time with villains.
He's the villain that does that plays by the book. He's one of those like really shitty people that does everything by the book and make sure it stays by the book. And when he pushes outside the parameters of things, he pushes just enough, but not too much.
Right.
You know, he never does too much. And it's like he knows he's a piece of shit human being. And so he makes sure he doesn't do too much and doesn't push things too hard. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So basically, yeah, where we left off was, you know, West had basically said that he wanted to take him down. And so the captain in this one, he tells him, you're going to have to keep a log on him. You're going to have to call in everything. He sets it up so that Bradford and Chen are always going to be in the same area, so that if West and what's his name get called to a
call.
Yeah, thank you. Then Stanton and West go to a call, then Chen and Bradford are going to be right along behind to kind of keep an eye and to follow up. And so, of course, West can't, like, he can't play by the rules. He can't run the game and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep tabs on this guy. I've already seen him violate so much stuff. This will be an easy, easy thing to do. No, yeah. He has to keep being like, no, I have to stop him now. No, he has to be stopped now. Dude, just fucking, you know he's going to dig his own grave. You're watching him. You've got right. Your captain's backing on this. Just fucking... Oh, that frustrated me. And yep, then Bradford and Chen being like, let's go check out his ex-partner who was a brother, according to Stanton. I bet we can get him to flip on him. Obviously, they've never worked with cops before. Cops don't flip on other cops. Even cops who hate other cops will never flip on other cops. It just doesn't happen. So
yeah, no, it doesn't.
So it was frustrating to see them be like, let's go talk to his ex-partner and or his ex-rookie. And see if he'll flip. No, guys, come on. And of course, his ex-rookie is like, no, he's looking out for me. I gave him a heads up that you guys were looking into him, so go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. Well, no, because his ex-partner, like, basically has said, like, oh, no, no, I know he's a big piece of shit. However, I'm just going to overlook it because he's helping me get ahead, and that's good enough for me right now.
Right. So,
I'm wondering if that will come back around because, you know, he has a guilty conscience or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it will, the way that they were building it up.
Yeah. I also liked how Nolan addressed his mother in this episode and basically said, I love you and I always will, but I don't want you to be in my life. I don't want to be around you.
Yeah, you're toxic person. Really. She really fucked him over and turned out to be a massively. Big piece of shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She did massively. And she's like, you're just like your father. And he's like, you know what? No, your father left you. He's like, well, I can see why.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're like, you know, your kid and your mother is a scammer and a liar and only looks out for herself and what can better, you know, and only looks out for what can make her a better person or not a better person, but just looks out for herself and how she can screw everybody else over and take advantage of everybody. And she sees no problem with it. And
yeah,
you know, yeah.
I think it was a little ominous, and I'm wondering if it was a throwaway line or if it's going to come up later on, but at the end there, when he was kicking her out and she was like, you've got them all fooled to think that you're a good guy and that, you know, you're decent and up and up. I'm wondering if there's more to his past. Like, is she?
No.
So she's a scam artist. Is he also, like, did he learn the tricks from her?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just her trying to be a final punch in the gut type thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's my opinion. So
that's our opinion. We welcome yours.
2 weeks off from the rookie, though. We're recording on Monday night, the February 1st. I cannot believe it's February.
I know. And. February is the shortest month, so before you know it, we're going to be going, my God, it's already March.
Yeah, in 4 weeks. There was no episode last night. There's no episode this Sunday because the Super Bowl is Sunday, so of course there isn't going to be.
They're still doing the Super Bowl?
Yep. Yeah, of course they are.
Okay.
Football is really the only season that hasn't been – that was not as affected by COVID as every other sport. They had some games get delayed, but they didn't outright cancel games. Some players couldn't play. But like basketball and hockey, both of their seasons typically start in October, earlier than that as well. And they were delayed until January for start times. Baseball, they're not even sure what's going to happen with baseball because of, you know, everything going on. But football's really been the only thing that has – they didn't have spring training or they didn't have preseason. But yeah, I thought we talked about this because Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl again. It's his
Yeah,
Super Bowl is this Sunday. It's in Tampa. There will be 7,500 fans in attendance, roughly. I'm looking forward. I'm watching the game.
Okay.
Watching the game. So, Lovecraft Country.
What'd you think of this?
I love this episode. Strange Case.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I bought the book?
No.
Yeah, I bought the book. I've enjoyed the show so much that I wanted to read the book. And Amazon had an amazing deal on my protein powder. It's normally like $50 a jug, if you will. And it was like $29.99. So while I was ordering my protein powder, I said, how much is the book? And it was less than $10 for the paperback edition. Brandy new and everything. So I bought the book, and I'm going to wait and watch all 10 episodes before I read the book. But I bought the book because I want to read it.
So you haven't started it yet, but you own it.
I own the book, and I'm going to read it eventually. I'm going to wait and finish watching the show, though, before I read the book.
Okay.
Because I don't want to give anything away in the show, and I also don't want to be like, well, the book was like this. No, I want to read the book after.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never, only one other time I can think of where I saw like a movie and the source material was a book, and I was like, I think I'll read the book and see how it's like or whatever. And that was the first time was A Christmas Story when I saw that Gene Shepard wrote in God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. And so that movie had source material of his book. And then I fell in love with Gene Shepard's writing and I bought all his books.
Yeah.
But I have read, like, I read Jaws. I read the novelization of Halloween. I read, but like, it was like Halloween came out and then they made a novelization of it. When Serenity came out, they made a novelization of Serenity and I read that book. That's a really good book, actually. Like, because the movie came first, the book really follows the movie. And then the book also dives into, like, pulls stuff from the TV show to kind of fill in like what maybe people were thinking or seeing or whatever, that when you watch the movie, you're like, I relate that to that. When that happened on the show or something.
Yeah.
And the book really spells it out for you. Yeah. The Serenity novelization is amazing. But like Jaws was written before the movie. First Blood, Rambo, First Blood, if you will, that was written before the movie. So I actually read the book of that. And in the book, Rambo's killed in the end.
Oh,
but arrested, and they make multiple movies. But yeah, and then what's funny is the guy that wrote the first Rambo novel wrote the second one after the, like, they made the movie and he did the novelization of the movie. So I thought that was funny. But yeah, this is the first time I've read a TV show and been like, you know, I want to read the book, because if the TV show is this good, I bet you the book is really good. So
nice.
Anyhow, William, as we saw in episode 4, was seducing Ruby because she just wanted to work at that department store. And when Ruby – and they have the sex. And when Ruby wakes up the next morning, she is now white.
Yeah.
She's a white woman, and she freaks out. And essentially, you know, she wakes up in her own house, so she's in a black neighborhood, and the police suddenly show up, and they take her away after they rough up some kid that was trying to help her because she was confused and scared. Yeah, racism. Yeah, anyways, right. They bring her back to William, who basically reveals that, you know, I have a metamorphosis potion that you drink it, and it's going to turn you into a white woman. But when you turn back black, it's going to suck because basically like your skin falls off, and it sounds very painful. But in her storyline for this, she continues to take the potion, lives with William. They have lots of sex. She gets a job at that department store that she wants as a white woman because she's living her dream. You know, she meets the other black girl, Tamara, that works there. The one that got, like, Ruby kept applying for the job, and all of a sudden she showed up and Tamara worked there. And basically, she was like, Ruby had graduated high school. She took classes. She did all kinds of things to build a resume. This girl had zero resume. She barely finished high school, or even if she may not even finish high school. She didn't take classes. She didn't do a lot of stuff. So Ruby starts riding her pretty hard. And then basically she finds out that the boss, Paul, you know, hired Tamara because he wanted to get him some brown sugar. And he tries to assault her and Tamara kind of fends him off. So Ruby confronts him about it, but she lets the potion wear off while she's sodomizing him with her high heel shoes. So he can see that a black woman did this to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. She sodomizes him brutally.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad in a good way. Bad. However, what's also interesting is we find out that William is not William. William is Christina.
Yeah.
So Christina had taken the same potion to make herself into William to kind of get Ruby to do what she wanted. Because she had Ruby work, go undercover, if you will, to get some stuff from the police officer.
Yep.
Who was trying to take over the Chicago Sons of Adam Lodge. And Ruby sees that the police officer, when his shirt's off, this captain, he's got a white face, but was it black skin on his body, or like gorilla body, or like
I think sewn it was black together skin. It was like he was turning himself, or like taking parts from a black man, kind of like Get Out. You know, he was taking parts from a black man and turning himself that way.
Yeah, it was weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. And then we have Atticus's story. And what's Atticus doing?
Atticus spends most of this episode freaking out. Yes. Like at first he goes and finds his dad and beats the ever-loving shit out of him. Probably would have killed him if
that
Letitia hadn't called those guys to drag him off him. Because he figured out that essentially his dad killed, what was her name again? All I can think of is Homenoptera, but it's not.
Yahima.
Basically the woman that they brought out, the man woman.
Yahima.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I know. And he tells Letitia that later. He's like, you know, yeah, he got rid of her just the same way he got rid of the pages of the book. So he knows that his dad is fucking with shit and trying to get rid of all evidence, all ties. Pretty much the opposite of what George would have been doing. He picked the wrong brother to save. So he beats the crap out of him and then studies papers and basically tells Letty, he's like, if you took pictures of those pages before he destroyed them, I need those pictures. And kind of freaks out on her, kind of gets a little obsessive and then apologizes to her. But yeah, he's basically trying to do whatever he can to figure out what was on those pages that his dad saw and apparently memorized in like 5 seconds and then threw away or burned. So he basically spends most of the episode doing that, either freaking out on Letty or studying the pages.
Yes. Studying the language of Adam.
Until he finally figures out some of it and translates it. And that's where we get the final scene of the episode where he calls the Asian woman that we saw a few episodes back, you know, that he had spent time with. Well, we assume that it was her.
Yeah, Jiha.
Yeah, he's basically like, what are you? He's like, how did you know? And she's like, you're finally starting to understand. And he's like, what are you? And click, the phone
rings. Yes, I can't wait to watch the next episode. I love this freaking
show. I know. I might actually watch it tonight after we get off this, but
that is my routine. We get done podcasting after I probably clean up the kitchen or whatever. I go watch it.
Nice.
Yeah. The only other show we have to talk about is WandaVision. So do you want to talk about trailers and news?
I got might a couple as well. Movies.
Do you want to talk about the trailers and news first?
Yeah, why not?
All right, go right ahead then, because I don't got nothing. You shared most. You shared more.
I got the trailers and the news. You got the movies. And,
yep.
So the first trailer that I sent you was, it's called It's a Sin. And the interesting thing about this is that it's an HBO Max series about AIDS in the UK that starts in 1981. But I believe if I read it correctly, it takes place over 10 years. Like each episode covers a different year of it.
Yes.
And it's these kids who basically go out into the UK and they're gay. And as they said, you know, it feels like they are being targeted by this one specific disease that is only singling them out. And it seems very interesting because it's based on real events. And yeah, I kind of dig it.
Yeah, it does look really, really good. Neil Patrick Harris is in it.
Yes. Yeah, yep. I had to watch a couple of times. I'm like, is that really Neil Patrick? Yep, that's really Neil Patrick Harris. The next one that I sent you is The Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
Yep.
This one, I believe, is Amazon. It's coming out soon. It's two teenagers who are stuck in a Groundhog Day time loop kind of thing.
Yep.
And they each think that they're the only one, and then they find each other. So now they have each other, and they start figuring out, you know, the Bill Murray kind of thing where they figure out, oh, if we're here at this time, at this place, then we can stop this person from getting hit by a truck kind of thing. It's supposed to be a romantic endeavor where he draws a map of all the things that they do. So he's drawn a map of the town and illustrates it with, you know, the people that they've saved and the adventures that they've been on while they're in this time loop. And she wants to just stay there. He wants to, I don't know. He wants to move on with life.
Yeah.
She's perfectly content just living this day over and over again. So it looks cute. It'll be interesting. I liked your description for this one. Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yeah.
This one is from the guy who did Bridesmaids. So automatically it has potential. It looks ridiculous. I mean, it looks stupidly ridiculous. But it's got Kristen Wiig, and it's based on obscure Saturday Night Live characters. Barb and Star are two Midwestern housewives.
I had actually forgotten it was based on Saturday Night Live characters.
Yeah. And their names, like, they introduce themselves in the beginning, and it's Star, who's short for Starbra. And then they're like, oh, so you must be Barbara? Nope, just Barb. So it's Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. They go on a vacation, and it looks like it's going to be one of these hilarious hijinks, ridiculous over the top, because they're kind of the Midwestern clueless women. Like you said, it could either be great or it could be awful. I don't think there's going to be a middle ground. I think it's either going to be hilarious or it's going to be so groan worthy that I'm going to turn it off.
Yep, I am right there with you. That is 100% how I feel about it. It's either going to be amazingly good or fucking terrible.
Yeah. Then Disney Plus gave us a March 26th release date and a first trailer for Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
That's got so much nostalgia in it. I'll at least watch the first episode.
Yep.
But I don't. It just depends on from there.
The story behind it is that this is years after the Mighty Ducks movies, and the Ducks have become a really powerful franchise. And now the ones that are in charge of it are doing what the original bullies did and basically saying, if you're not good, we don't want you on our team. We only take the best of the best. So now this kid and his mom is Lauren Graham. Is that right?
Yeah, longer.
Yeah, yeah. They decide they're going to start their own hockey team for losers, and they recruit the Zamboni driver, Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, he knows a thing or two about coaching hockey.
Yep. So that'll be interesting. Like you said, I'll watch it. I'll check it out. But I'm not 100% convinced that it's going to have staying power.
Yeah, either do I. Either am I. Again, for me, it's going to be a lot of, all right, what's going to happen in the first episode, or what's the storyline going to be?
Right. So. What's the story, Morning Glory, essentially?
Yep. What's the story, Morning Glory?
Well, yes. And then the final one that I sent you kind of came from out of nowhere. This was another Amazon. Is it Amazon Prime? I think it's, yeah, it's Amazon Prime. It's called Tell Me Your Secrets.
Yeah, that looks
I was going to say, tell me your thoughts, because you were like, this looks fucking great.
Well, no, I said that looks very good.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, this looks really good. That's what I said.
Gotcha.
Who is that? What's her name?
She's one of those that I see her a million times, but I'm like, I never remember her name.
Lily Rabb.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lily Rabb. She's been in a ton of stuff, realistically. But yeah, you're right. She's one of those ones in she's been in a bunch of American Horror Story. That's where I've seen her the most.
Yep.
So anyway, basically it is an Amazon Prime series, comes out February 19th. Of course, February 19th is already predisposed for me to be watching The Muppet Show on Disney Plus. Anyways, tell me your secrets. It says here, it follows a trio of characters, each with a mysterious and troubling past. Emma is a young woman who has once looked into the eyes of a dangerous killer. John is a former serial predator desperate to find redemption, and Mary is a grieving mother obsessed with finding her missing daughter. As each of them is pushed to the edge of truth about their past and motives, Groover Mercury, blurring lines between victim and perpetrator. Now, Lily Rabb's character, Emma Hall, she is playing, she's in the witness protection program. So she shows up in this town out of nowhere because she's been put into witness protection. So she's like a new person in town. Amy Brenneman, who plays Mary Barlow, she is convinced that Emma is responsible for her daughter's disappearance, and she hires Hamish Linklater who plays the former serial predator to do something to aim Emma about her daughter.
Right.
So that's, to me, where it's kind of, and then it just looks so dark and creepy and yeah.
Yeah. It just seems really, like really, good really, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll enjoy it. And I'm sure that you can find time to watch two shows. I know you're dedicating yourself to the
Well, Muppet I've Show. Actually decided I'm not going to just binge burn through the Muppet Show. I'm going to watch it with my kids, maybe like an episode a day.
Good.
So, yeah. Oh, there's a new show on Netflix that came out last week called Go Dog Go. Okay. It's based on the book Go Dog Go. I have read Wesley Go Dog Go 100 times. To 140 times, probably. Like, for a while that was his favorite book. And then he reads it to me now. Like, he loves this book. So I forgot it had – I remember it came on, but today I finally remembered to put it on for him. There's 9 episodes. They're 25 minutes apiece. This kid friggin' loves this show.
I bet.
And there's a lot from the book in the show.
Yep.
As much as like the girl rolls up and says, do you like my hat? No, I don't like your hat. Goodbye then. Goodbye. And he's like, her hat's stupid. You know, like, no, his kid loves the show. So anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I forgot to mention that I started watching a new show tonight on HBO Max.
Yeah.
It was one that had popped up for me and I picked it up because I thought I recognized on the cover art. And yeah, Billy Piper is the main character. It's called I Hate Susie.
How's that?
It's good. I've only watched one episode so far, but basically she plays this, she was a child star, and that was 20 years ago when she first got her breakthrough, and then we flash forward to now, and she's all excited because she gets a call in the first episode that she got the Disney job. We don't know what it is, but she said, you know, I thought I was going to be resigned to being a villain for the rest of my life, but no, I got the Disney job. I'm so excited. And then on the same day, a bunch of her friends are sending her messages and they're like, what is going on? Because apparently her phone got hacked and there is it's the fappening kind of thing. Yep. There's a compromising picture of her out there that is with her, sucking on a penis, that is not her husband's.
Oh.
And it's from only a couple months ago. So now her husband has kicked her out of the house and, she's probably not going to get the Disney job is my guess.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first episode, but I'm definitely going to check it out.
I'll check it out. It
looks cool. It's right there on HBO Max.
It's Lucy Preble and Billy Piper, and they did Secret Diary of a Call Girl and The Effect.
Ah.
They've worked together in the past.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll have to try to remember.
Let's see. Yeah, that was the only thing. Okay, so now we're moving on to news. So this I found very interesting. Netflix is making two new animes. One is going to be based on King Kong, and one is going to be based on Tomb Raider.
Okay.
And normally I'd be like, anime, but now that we've seen what they did with the Transformers anime, and that's me making air quotes, I can get behind it.
Sure, sure, sure. Just remember what they did to She-Ra.
Yes, yes. DC's The Sandman announced its full cast. I wasn't that excited because, I don't know, Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones is going to be playing Lucifer. Great. I never really got into The Sandman graphic novels, and so it's not that big of a deal for me, but I'm sure some people out there are very excited.
Yeah, I never got into it either. I remember the only really story arc I read of this guy was when he crossed over with a little bit of Batman issues that I read. But yeah, right. Neil Gaiman wrote it, so people, oh, Neil Gaiman, this is going to be awesome.
Well, exactly.
He's done some good stuff and then some other shitty stuff. So.
Attack of the Show and X-Play are both coming back. G4, remember they did that like reunion tour, and they've sent out a tweet recently that had like a TV screen that said, "We never stopped playing." And they basically said, both Attack of the Show and X-Play will be part of the official programming slate when the network launches, although we don't know who will be hosting either show just yet.
Sure.
It's looking like it's going to start off on like Twitch or YouTube, and then it might actually be picked up on Peacock.
Okay. I'm sorry, real quick, going back in time.
Sure.
The Sandman TV series based on the DC comic.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this must not be in the DC comic universe.
No, it is not.
Because this is going to be on Netflix.
Yes.
Good job.
Yeah.
It's my slow clap for DC Entertainment, DC's cinematic universe, and just not getting their shit together ever.
Yeah. Gotta give them credit for that, for just, you know, scattering their shit to the wind.
Yep.
I sent you a news article because I thought it was right up your alley, which is a new Disney wrestling superhero series coming out called Ultraviolet and Blue Demon.
Yeah, Blue Demon Jr. is actually a professional wrestler from NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. I met him last year, 2019, got my picture made with him. He's a legend in Mexico, as his father Blue Demon was. So I had heard scuttlebutt about him doing a TV show, but I didn't fucking know it was going to be a Disney Plus show.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
It's definitely, I don't know if I'll watch it, but I saw it and I was like, ooh, that is going to be right up Mike's alley.
Well, that's a show where I'll watch the first episode to see what happens, much like I watched the first episode of the Big Show and then said, that looks like shit, and then watched the second episode, said, yep, that's garbage, and I didn't go back and watch any more of it. So
at least we're good enough to always watch two episodes, because we understand that, you know, sometimes pilots are garbage.
Yep.
And so you want to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Justice League is coming March 18th. It is no longer going to be a four-part series. It is now going to be one giant cocksucker of a four-hour movie.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they made yet another chain. Just, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's whatever. Black Panther, they just announced this today. Black Panther Kingdom of Wakanda is going to be a new series on Disney Plus. And it's going to have Ryan Coogler set to direct and produce, the guy who did the Black Panther movie. Uh-huh. And it's just going to be a series that focuses on the country of Wakanda, which I think is great, because I remember when the movie came out, we were talking about how basically Wakanda was its own character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm behind this.
Cool. Yeah, I can get behind that as well.
And then the last piece of news that I had is the announcement of a new Amazon anthology series called Solos. says Morgan Freeman, Anne Hathaway, Helen Mirren are among some of the big names joining the star-studded cast for Amazon's new dramatic anthology series, Solos. Comes from Hunters creator David Wheel, who will act as showrunner and executive producer. Feature star-studded cast, including those three, plus Uzo Aduba, Nicole Beharie, Anthony Mackie, Dan Stevens, Constance Wu. It says, Solos will tell unique character-driven stories, each from a different perspective and a moment in time, that illuminate that even during our most seemingly isolated moments and the most disparate of circumstances, we're all connected through the human experience. So I'm guessing it's going to be one of those, like, you remember, what was it, Modern Love, where each one of them was a different story, but then by the end, you got to see how they all kind of tie in.
And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And it's by Amazon again, so I'm betting we're going to see something like that. And I can get behind that 100%. I love a good anthology.
Oh, me too. Me too.
So that's it that I've got for trailers and news. What about your movies?
All right. So I don't know if I'm ashamed to admit this or not, but I watched a movie for the first time ever. That I had never seen fully. At least I don't ever remember seeing it fully.
Okay.
I watched An American Werewolf in London.
The original?
Yep.
Holy Christ, I saw that in the drive-in when I was a kid.
Cool. So I watched it.
Damn, man. Wow.
I'll never watch this again.
No.
I understand it's a John Landis flick. Mm-hmm. It was definitely, I didn't realize it had such a heavy comedic aspect to it.
Uh-huh.
Much like watching Scanners recently again, it's one of those things where they talk about Scanners, they talk about An American Werewolf in London, and they talk about it in these horror documentaries. And they talk about how amazing the transformation scene was when he becomes the werewolf the first time. And they're right. That is amazing.
Yes.
But go watch that scene on YouTube and don't bother watching the fucking movie, you know? Same thing as Scanners. It's like, go watch Scanners, but don't watch the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of disappointing when it's that shitty, you know?
Well, think about that transformation sequence and think about like the graphic kills in that you see take place in some of the scenes. And then imagine watching that as a kid in the backseat of a car.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely graphic. I don't doubt about it. Yeah, that's definitely graphic and violent and everything. But no, it's just the comedic aspect of, I don't know. It's one of those things where, I finally watched it and I was very disappointed.
Yeah. And I completely understand that. And I'm glad that you finally seen it. I had no idea you hadn't seen it. I'm glad that you finally seen it to be able to say, wow, what the fuck?
But here's the thing. And I should ask you, or in the future be like, hey, have you seen the, all right. Remember a couple of years ago when you admitted to me, I've never seen the movie Aliens. And I said, we need to fucking Alien. And I'm like, we need to fucking correct that now.
Yes.
And so, sat down and we watched Alien and you're like, oh my God, that movie was awesome. I'm like, yes, yep. It is. Like, that's one of those ones. Ah, I'm kicking my ass. I should have watched the movie a long time ago. No, I didn't need to watch this. I didn't need to spend an hour and 36 minutes on this.
Right? No, you did not.
Yeah.
No, I think I would have helped steer you away from that.
Yeah. The wife and I watched another Alfred Hitchcock classic together. We watched North by Northwest, a 1959 flick with Cary Grant. Yeah. Great flick. I can see why people like it so much. It is a great flick. There's some funny moments in it. You know, that very, very, very memorable historic scene where he's running through the field and the plane's coming down behind him and everything.
It's been duplicated across millions of different things.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a great flick. You know, it's 2 hours and 16 minutes long. We paused it halfway through to make some popcorn and everything and take a break and got right back into it. We both really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Nice.
And then the other flick I watched, I'm not going to talk about. I'm just going to say I watched it because I know you're going to watch it eventually. The HBO Max premiere of The Little Things with Denzel Washington, Jared Leto, and Rami Malek.
Yes.
Did you forget about it?
Watching that for Rami Malek.
Yeah. Did you forget that was on, or you just didn't have time? Or
I did not have time this week. I feel like I blacked out in a couple of places. Like I legitimately lost time in some areas.
Yep.
And I knew that it was out there. And even today I was like, oh, I should try to make some time for that, and mm-hmm. never did. So yes.
Well, I will say I enjoyed the film.
That sounded like a question mark.
I enjoyed the film. And it was a bit different than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Will I ever watch it again? can't say for sure.
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes a movie is just a one-time watch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Most porn is that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not necessarily, but...
Okay.
I mean, maybe this is something you really like. But anyways, sometimes you'll watch a movie and you'll feel like, I don't really need to watch that again. And then a few years later, you'll be like, yeah, actually, I think I do want to watch that again, you know?
Yep, yep.
So, but anyhow, that's it for me for movies.
Okay. So all we have left is WandaVision?
Yeah. So if you don't want to get WandaVision spoiled, we'll talk to you later. If you've already watched it, I'm very happy.
I'm very happy too. This is one of those shows that I have to watch first thing Friday morning, because the moment I turn on my computer, there's news everywhere, and sometimes they try to keep the spoilers to a minimum. Sometimes they're just like, hey, guess what? Everything's changed.
Yeah, and with WandaVision, the first three episodes asked a lot of questions and left us with a lot of questions. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Episode 4, which the title is We Interrupt This Program, which is fucking amazingly titled, because episode 4, we're not in WandaVision, if you will. We're dealing with outside WandaVision, if you will. And I friggin' loved it, and it answered like almost all of our questions except the big question of why is she doing it,
right?
And they did it in such a fantastic way and tied everything together in such a fantastic way. I absolutely loved it.
We got to bring back two kind of ancillary characters who were actually awesome in their own right when they were in the show.
Yes.
And now that we get them back, they're even more awesome, because you've got Kat Dennings' character, who was just great in Thor. And I wanted to see more of Darcy, more. And then she kind of vanished. So I was glad to see her back.
Yep.
And then we got Agent Wu. And I sent you that clip today because...
I loved it.
That, you know, when he first pops out of his vehicle, he pops out his business card with that little card trick. And for most people, it's just like a throwaway thing. But if you go back and you watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, Scott learned that card trick while he was on house arrest. And he's showing Agent Wu that he learned it. And Wu's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Hey, how did you do that?
Yeah. And so now you can see that years later, he taught himself the trick.
Yes, I thought that was fantastic. I love that little bit of continuity in there.
Which apparently Paul Rudd did teach himself that trick for that role. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's really cool about that, like, but this episode of WandaVision, this television show, really had a huge implication for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in the fact that we got to see someone return following from the blip.
Yes.
Like in Spider-Man Far From Home. Was it Far From Home? Yes.
Yes, Far From Home. Yep.
In Far From Home, at the end of Endgame, we see all the superheroes return, and it's just like, hey, we're back. You know? Yep. And then in Far From Home, we kind of see them dealing with it. But in this, we get to see the moment someone returns, and we see Captain Monica Rambeau, an agent of S.W.O.R.D., you know, being ashed back together and waking up from, like, I fell asleep in my chair. Hey, I'm in a hospital room. Hey, my mom's gone, or this patient's gone. And she's looking, and everyone, like all these people in the hall, you start seeing people reappearing, and you know, they don't know it's been 5 years. They don't know what's going on. The hospital's kind of in chaos. And this nurse finally sees her and basically says, "Your mom died from cancer like 3 years ago or two years ago, whatever it was. And you've been gone five, you know, like," and we get that kind of ramifications. And then we fast forward 3 weeks later and she shows up to work and you see the new director, and he basically is, you know, she's got to stay on the planet. She can't go in space. Her mom made these rules. No one from the blip who blips out, who returns, you know, they have to, they get grounded essentially until we can vet everything. And that's how she ends up going out to see Agent Jimmy Woo in Westview, New Jersey. And I love it when they show up and Woo's like, "This is the issue. Come with me." And they walk up to the police officers who are standing there, and there's a giant Westview sign right there. And it does say Eastview on their cars. And he goes, "So, how do we get to Westview, New Jersey? That town doesn't exist." And Jimmy Woo just looks at her and then looks back, and they continue the conversation. Like, he's not even perplexed by this. He's not, he's like, no, this makes perfect sense. You know, I guess having lived through the blip and everything else, it would make sense, but I just thought that was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we see Darcy show up, you know, and she's the one that discovers that the radiation that, oh, sorry, Monica gets sucked in. Like, she, they fly the drone in.
Yep.
And this drone that they fly in looks like a helicopter, and it looks different than the one that Wanda finds in episode 2 or 1 or whatever it is. But we determine that when it goes into the void, it is automatically transferred to be like, to fit what time frame the TV show's in, if you will.
Yes.
Which was cool as shit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely was.
So Monica's sucked in because she goes in to see about the drawer, about the drone. So all of a sudden now when Wu reports it in, now Sword set up a perimeter, and we see, like, you know, Kate Denning shows up, or, you know, Mark Darcy Lewis with all this other people. She discovers that there's some sort of old school broadcast signal in the field that's going on, and they can hook it up to an old tube TV so they can watch, like, the sitcom, as they're calling it. So when we see people at the end of the episode watching them, we see it's them watching them.
Yep.
When someone's talking to Wanda through the radio, it's Jimmy Woo that's talking to her, because Darcy's figured out, hey, if we can mask this frequency, we can do this. You know, it's so friggin' cool.
Yes. Yes, it was so phenomenal to watch those realizations. And I think they did it at just the right time. Like, if they had waited until like episode 7 or 8,
yes,
then it would have been too much to like go back and be like, well, what about this? Oh, yeah, that was great. But I think that some of the novelty would have been lost. But the fact that we had 3 full episodes and now they're like, and here's what was happening in all of those, I think it was perfect.
Yeah. And we find, you know, they see Monica just sitting on a bench one time, and it's like, is she in undercover? Does she knows what's going on? And then we get to see when her as Geraldine and Wanda have the conversation where Wanda casts her out after she says Ultron killed your brother. And what's cool about this is we go from the standard TV, 1970s TV 4:3 format of the picture. And when we have the glitch, it cuts to like our new high definition widescreen of Wanda talking to Geraldine. And then she uses her Scarlet Witch magic and casts her out and, you know, sends her out through the barrier.
Yes.
And then it cuts right back to the 4:3. No, not immediately, because Vision walks in and we're still the widescreen, and she sees Vision as dead Vision after she exploded. When she had an Infinity Stone in his head, or after Thanos pulled it out. Either way,
Thanos pulled it out.
Okay, so we see dead Vision, because he died. He didn't get blipped. You know what I mean? And that's
right.
That's one of the things they talk about. Jimmy Woo and everything talk about, like, hey, he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why do we have Avengers in there? What's going on? And then they start recognizing the people in the town, who lived in the town of Westview, and they're cast members on the show. So yes. that was fantastic, that little bit of it. but then when Wanda gets things under control and makes Vision look like Vision again, if you will, we cut right back to the 4-3 because we're back in the sitcom now.
Yep.
And then, you know, episode 3, it ended with Geraldine being outside and all the Sword Agents swarming her. Well, we see that again in this episode. And, you know, she says Wanda is controlling the illusion.
Yes.
So I freaking loved it. It was so good.
It was so good. Like you said, they answered almost everything, but at the same time, they still left mysteries of like, why is she doing this? Who is Agnes? Because she was not identified, nor was Dottie. Agnes and Dottie were not identified by the people.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
You know, is S.W.O.R.D. a benevolent organization in this case, or is S.W.O.R.D. a, you know, a villainous type of thing? I mean, we say that Monica Rambeau set it up, but did she do they still have the best interests at heart? There's so much.
Was S.W.O.R.D. affected by Hydra like S.H.I.E.L.D. was affected by Hydra?
Right.
Not, you know, and we've seen the Hydra commercials in the previous episodes, or the Stark commercials in the previous episodes as well.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, no, they asked. They left so much open for us to explore.
And shortly after this came out, they released a new trailer that they said is the mid-season trailer of what's coming up after this.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
I didn't either, and I'm not going to.
Okay,
like, good. I want actually to be surprised, because the headlines that I saw were like, oh, it reveals so much is coming, and it looks like we've got new things coming, and I'm like, I don't care.
I don't want to know those new things. I want to be surprised. Yes,
exactly. Sometimes I really want to know, or I want to get that excitement. And in cases like this, I don't. I want to be surprised.
Yep, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Damn straight.
Yep. No, I I love television, and I love movies, obviously, and we're all trapped at home, so it's almost like I feel like at times I'm just watching too much. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so part of me is like, I really don't want to take on new shows, because I'd actually like to try to watch less TV if I could, but then I find myself anxious and bored or restless, and I end up watching like 12 movies, so it's
yeah,
really like damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes.
Yep.
And then like sometimes we recently, like Kate and I, we were watching Search Party, and it got to the point where I'm just going to say no. It got to the point where we were curious enough that we wanted to know what happened, but we really didn't want to watch the whole thing.
Okay.
So we watched like the first couple episodes of the season, and then we read all the synopses about what happened in the season, and then we went right to the season finale, and we watched the previously on and caught ourselves up that way.
Now,
and then watched the finale and called it good.
But I have to ask about that, because I know that they had like two seasons, I think, on TBS, but then it switched to HBO Max, and now it's an HBO Max show. So have you watched it on there? Is it any better switching to Max? Or
no, because it was pretty adult oriented on TBS. You know, TBS dropping swears and this and that and everything. Okay. Joe is really confusing. Not confusing.
Convoluted?
Convoluted. They don't really make the characters likable. They're kind of a couple of the characters are really annoying. The one story that like I'm intrigued, like, okay, so in the fourth season, which just started,
okay,
the one story almost fell down standing up. The one story that I'm interested in the most, it's like I want to know what's going on with that one character, the main character. But there's four connecting stories in the episodes with the other characters, and it's like I don't give a shit what's going on with the other characters. I have no interest. And these other characters, I just want to know what's happening with this one character.
Gotcha.
So that, you know, that's kind of part of it as well.
That reminds me of the later seasons of Heroes.
Yeah. 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 Yep. That makes perfect sense. But yeah, gun to my head, don't bother.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't bother.
Okay.
It's really not worth it.
I was originally considering it, but now I will probably rethink that.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, where you're working from home, if you want to have a show on in the background while you're just doing busy, while you're working,
yep.
you kind of half watch it and you, yeah, you can burn through it then if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Makes sense.
But otherwise, I really wouldn't bother.
All right. But I get what you're saying. I feel the same way. Like, we're kind of trapped inside, especially with the winter months. And holy shit, we're about to get a nor'easter and
yeah,
get a bunch of snow dumped on us, you know? So
a foot to 18 inches of snow coming tonight to tomorrow type of thing.
You know, this past summer and fall, and, you know, there was we had the lockdown, but it wasn't that bad in Maine.
We could get outside.
Yeah, you could go outside and you could take a walk or you could play in the backyard or, you know, like, you know, as I've mentioned a couple of times, I'm dating someone and we could just go to a park for the day, you know, or go hike a mountain. And now it's like, okay, we went to an art museum this weekend and it was fucking freezing on the way in. Like the wind was whipping by and blowing on us. And once we were done there, it was okay. Let's get back in the vehicle and drive to the next place where we're going to park and talk.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of, oh, now we can go here and do this because you also don't want to be around people. So it does turn to TV and movies and that kind of entertainment, or in my case, video games.
Yeah, and I love TV and movies. Don't get me wrong. I just, you know, we have a podcast that is about what did you watch this week? But we don't necessarily have to have watched hundreds of hours of programs to talk about it. Right. I understand. So it's not like it's a burden, but at the same time, it's almost like I'm watching too much TV.
You've gone through these phases before too, where you've said the same thing.
I have. You're right. I have. But I'm really feeling it right now.
Yeah.
But realistically, other than like, all right, I get up at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
You know, I get ready for work. I begin my work day. I sit down at my computer, my desk, my dining room table, log in, check my messages, check my emails, do whatever little bit of work I need to do that day. And then, all our projects are on hold. All our audits are on hold. All our stuff is on hold because of the pandemic. So now I'm basically from like, say, 9 o'clock on, I'm sitting and waiting for work to roll in.
Okay.
And if something doesn't roll in, if someone doesn't call up with a question or an offline search or hand, you know what I mean? Or a password reset or question or this, that, or whatever, or they need help with an entry. If that doesn't happen, then I don't really have anything to do. Except watch TV or watch a movie or read a book or, you know what I mean? Like there's limitations on. And then, you know, you get out of work at 4 and you're already home.
Yeah.
So now what do I do? Because I've just spent all day at home. So now what do I do for the next, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours till I go to bed?
Right.
You have, you know, and I understand you're in the same boat. I don't know if your day's busier than mine is. You know,
some days not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I have some days where I'm just busy all day long, or I have like 2 or 3 meetings that day or whatever. And it's like, great. Awesome. But, you know, there's other days where I don't have much going on. You know, my wife, she works from home, but she is literally busy all day. So like when it's 10:15, that's her first break in the morning. Her day starts at 8 o'clock. She takes a break at 10:15. She takes lunch at 12:30 to 1:30. She takes a break at 3:15 and she's off duty at 5 o'clock. But you know, yeah, I know. But she's busy. She's not scrolling through her phone for half the day or, you know what I mean? She actually has a lot of work that she has to do that she has rolling in constantly on and that's every single day. Very rarely does she find herself sitting there like at 2 o'clock on a Friday and be like, I really have nothing to do.
Right.
As opposed to me who for instance, tomorrow I don't have any work because of the storm, but like, you know, today Monday morning, a little bit more work, but by 11:30, I was like, I'm done.
Yep.
And I had a meeting at 2 and really nothing else.
Yep.
So I guess I feel like, I just watch too much TV because I must be watching too much because I can never find anything on, as opposed to previously where I would have to hunt for time to actually watch the shows I enjoy watching.
Right. That was definitely
a struggle. Yeah, I didn't have time to watch the shows that I enjoyed watching. And yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know. I think I'm just cabin fevered up from this winter. More so than normal because of the pandemic.
Right. I think that that's definitely a legitimate concern. And that's not like, join the club. No, it's legitimate. I think everybody to some extent is feeling it. You know, some of us, you and I, who tend to be more inside homebodies anyway. It took us a little longer to get there, but it's definitely a fucking concern.
Yeah, and you've had a little bit of an advantage where you've met somebody new, so you had a period of discovering a new person and learning about them and them learning about you.
Yep.
But even then, now you guys are at a point where it's like, we want to do more stuff, but we can't because of this fucking pandemic.
Pandemic and the cold weather and the snow. I mean, like this past weekend, there was no snow. The roads were all clear. It was fucking cold as shit.
It was like -7 without a wind chill on Saturday morning. My phone told me it was like, that's
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, that's why I was actually I'm having surgery on my left leg next week, and they called me today. I figured it'd be March, and I was just kind of like, I don't want it to be March because March it actually gets nice enough for those days. You have nicer days. February can still be a very cold month. March, yes, it can be, but you still have nicer days. Yeah. And I didn't want to have surgery at the beginning of the month and just be tied up for a month while I recovered from it. So I'm very excited to have it next week. So when the nice weather comes, I can be outside more. I remember last March when the pandemic started, if you will, we were outside playing basketball every day during our breaks. The days are longer, so it gets a little bit warmer. I mean, I'm just, I'm cabin fevered galore right now.
I feel like the more this conversation goes on, the more you're getting cabin fever.
Well, I mean, I guess I had a conversation with someone last week about this too, about, through Facebook Messenger, my buddy Brandon in North Carolina, about being cabin fevered galore right now. So,
yeah,
it's a thing. All right. It's my thing.
Sure is.
Well, it's a thing I'm suffering with, but anyways, all right. I guess people don't want to listen to me ramble anymore. We can end the show and then we can ramble together after.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar ML.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.
Later.